should be on here. So, before I get started, I'd like to give you guys an opportunity to do something. How many of you decided to follow Jesus? Okay, so, because you've decided to follow Jesus, I believe that that gives justifiable reason for you to stand up, go find somebody, and go tell them, I've decided to follow Jesus. Get to know one another, just for a minute, just so I can get my notes together here.
I decided to follow Jesus.
That's me. We're going to give him a shock. Well, amen. This is a good time to be together, isn't it? What happened to John? Is he still here? Did he head out? Oh, is he out there? Okay. Okay, so if you'll turn to your Bibles, get you all calmed down. I get you all warmed up, and then I got to get you all calmed down. It is my fault. I will take that. Genesis chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at verse 22. Seasons change. Seasons change. How many of you are glad to live in Wallowa County that we don't have to live winter all the time? Seasons change. I don't know about you. I like the winter at first. I like the first snow, but after probably, you know, about a month, I'm good. I've had my winter. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. So I'm not putting it on the overhead so you cannot look in your Bible, but just in case somebody doesn't have, that way you do have a reference to the verse. And what I usually do is I'll take what I type out my notes so I can read them, and so that I'm hopefully prepared to minister to you guys. But I just take those and I just, what you see up there most of the time, as long as the guy in the back is following through with it, should be the same thing that I've got up here. And the reason I did that was because if you guys remember a while back, is I said, if there's something you want me to repeat, raise your hand. And I was getting enough repeats that I thought, it might be just good if I have it up there so that you can write it down if you're writing it down. So that's part of the reason for it. So we just hope that that blesses you as well. So let's look at chapter 8 in Genesis, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Shall not cease. Father, I do pray. Lord, this is, I believe for some of us, such a crucial message to our hearts. This is not just you speaking about the seasons, the physical seasons around us, but the seasons of life. Life changes. Difficult life changes come. Lord, renewed and joyous times come. But Father, we have to realize that no matter what season we are in, that this is the season of your divine plan for our life, and nothing has changed that. And so, Jesus, I would pray today, Lord, my desire is that you would minister to every heart where they're at. Lord, there are some things in our life that it's not a season, it's a matter of repentance. We need to get away from, we need to quit, we need to stop doing, we need to stop believing that thing, and that's not a season. And some people have believed that the thing that they need to repent from is the season that they're in. But Lord, I also know that there are others that they're in a season in life and they can say, this is difficult. I want out of this. I want to go back to a different season, and they can't. And yet, Lord, beautifully interwoven in that is something that you've planned for them, and you want them to be able to take pleasure and joy in this season. So, Father, would you help us discern in this moment where we're at, and let it be understood that this is the season that you've called us to be in, whatever it is. And we want to praise you for, Lord, your faithfulness in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is a season? I know a lot of you could probably give me a pretty good definition of a season, but this is my definition of a season. I had time to write it down, so I hope this is pretty thorough. It is a life cycle. It imposes critical elements at necessary times so that God's purposes can be established. Though a season is important, it is never permanent. We must work and live based on the season we are in, even if it is not the season we prefer. Similar to seasons in nature, we also have seasons in life. God has hope and joy built into every season you find yourself in, if you will embrace it. If you will embrace it. For our family, we're watching our kids turn teenagers, and Caleb is on the verge of having his license. Just wanted to warn you guys ahead of time. He is a great driver. For his age, he is a great driver, and he's doing phenomenal. But I just want to let you know, if you need to be texted before you get out on the road, that's all right. I'll let you know. Now, we're entering a new season in life where our kids are getting older, and we're beginning to get where some of you, many of you have already been, and that is getting closer to empty nesting. And, you know, it's a totally different feel when you're there. And so there's things that I'm having to change, and one of those very most important elements for me personally with my sons, and as they get older especially, is developing from being the father to the mentor, if possible. They got to make their decisions in life. They have to chart the course that God has for them, and I can't tell them what to do as much anymore. If I do, I hinder God's process. And I'll admit, trying to get into that season was awfully difficult. And what I realized is, for many of us, at least for me, what sounds like and feels like kind of an attitude, maybe an attitude of rebellion, was more like, I'm getting ready and prepared and don't know how to do that, Dad, to start moving forward in life without you. Making my own decisions. Doing what God called me to do. Growing up and being a man. And, you know, sometimes we want to hang on and tell them how to do life. And what I've realized is, if we do this well, God backing it, what I'll start to discover is now they're owning their own convictions, they're having their own values, and they have their own walk with the Lord. And it is not mine determined, it's theirs followed. And so I'm always grateful to hear my boys share what the Lord has put on their heart, watching them make decisions in life that are so essential. And you think, man, the world around them will gobble them up if they don't make the right decision. And watch them do it. And it's been an adventure. It's been privilege, but it's also been a season. That's for sure. God designed life for work and rest. Just remember that. God designed life for work and rest. How many of you work 7 days a week? Good. Because if you do, quit it. Stop working 7 days a week. Because God didn't make you for 7 days a week work. Which is strange, because in some ways we're like, didn't God want us, like, because life is so short, doesn't he want us to get like the most efficiency out of life? And, you know, as I got older and seasons changed for me, one of the things I realized is my values and what's important for me changes. You know, when I was young, yeah, he's ready to retire. You got a while before that season, brother. But what I realized was I came from young man vision for myself. What am I going to do? What's going to be my life? What's going to happen for me? To where now I'm starting to, my vision is for my kids. What's going to happen with them? Where are they going to be? How can I be of service in helping compel and propel them for their youth and what God has for them? And so I think that that season can get you off guard, and if you miss it, you might miss, they might miss what they have, what God has for them. So God designed life for work and rest. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's plan in the design was not to get the maximum production or efficiency out of life. Somebody needs to hear that. God's design was not to get the maximum production and efficiency out of life. 6 days. So Exodus 23, verse 12. Exodus 23, verse 12. Says this. 6 days you shall do your work. 6 days you shall do your work. And on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. So the donkey shall work, and your animals shall work, and then they shall have rest, and then be refreshed. Have rest and be refreshed. So something I found interesting and amazing to me was, so when you work a physical job, how many of you guys have worked a physical job? I mean, physically demanding. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Amen. Right? A physically demanding job requires something of you. And one of the things I realized is there were certain days, and there were lots of them, where I worked and I was so physically tired, I thought to myself, there is no way I'm coming back to work tomorrow. I'm hurting. I'm going to bed hurting bad, and my back is hurting, and my body is just aching from pain. And I'll just share one of those jobs with you. We were doing a landscape job over in La Grande, over at the university, and it was this huge field that we were laying down sod. And sod is like these long, about like so, pieces of sod. And we had a group of guys, thankfully, that's a job you don't want to do by yourself, and we're grabbing that one piece at a time and laying it down. And we were there at least a week, and there was semi-load every day of sod that we were laying down. I still feel like every now and then carpal tunnel has been trying to set in early because of that one job. That hurts. But it was amazing to me, one night's of rest would literally refresh me and get me ready for the next day. That always has amazed me. How do I feel as good as I do when I felt like I did before I went to bed? But I'll tell you one thing, I usually slept really good too. You shall work, he said. You're not going to get away from that. You shall work, but you shall rest too. Both are equally important in God's kingdom. God constructed and commanded that our land would rest and that we would rest. In Leviticus 25, verses 3 and 4, he says, 6 years you shall sow your field. So now not days, but years. And 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land. A Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow in your field nor prune your vineyard. Now imagine that. If we practice that today, literally your land rested for a year. Now I'm imagining not everybody's land rested at the same exact time, but I don't know for sure. But I would say this, it just shows the value that God put in this season of rest, right? So productivity was to come to a stop at certain intervals. That's how God designed it. How many of you notice there are people who do not live the way God basically designed things? And are they really happier when it's all said and done? Is life going better for them? They think that by pushing and pushing harder that they're getting something more out of it, but it's not. How many of you guys have been out there with a chainsaw cutting wood? How many have been out there done that? Robbie's got his hand up in the back, and we've got Hubert back there. He's sharing, like, we've used a chainsaw. How many of you, when the chainsaw got dull, kept cutting wood anyway? Yes, over here, yes. Somebody's still cutting wood. Yep. Until it's smoking. Yeah. So the realization is that productivity happens better when we take the time to stop and sharpen the saw. There's some things that require an interval of stop in order for it to actually be more productive. You take long enough to not do things like that, and then you find out life doesn't actually work that way. Why, I don't know. Why God designed it that way, I don't know. I don't really ultimately know. But we do know to force productivity during those intervals of rest is either harmful or absurd. So just try planting a garden in the middle of winter or shoveling snow in the middle of summer. It just doesn't make sense. If I was out there with a snow shovel and I was pushing on the sidewalk, none of you would think that I was pushing snow during the summertime. You'd have thought he's pushing rock or something, but he's definitely not pushing snow in the moment. And I know I would love to have a harvest in the wintertime, but that's not when it happens. So to try and be productive when we should rest is just as bad. It's just as bad as trying to force productivity in a season which you're not in. And so I want to say that I think that the Lord wants to challenge some of us today and speak to us in a very powerful way about make sure that you're living in the season that you're in. Live that season. Don't regret that season. Don't hate that season. Don't wish you were in a different one. Just live that season. You know, some would say probably to me, hey, Pastor, here's the thing. You're a younger guy, and I'm older. And you don't know what you're yet to face. And you're probably right. That's why I'm rejoicing in my season. I'm very happy with the one that I happen to be in for the moment. But I'll tell you something. As you live gracefully the season you're in, it encourages me. It encourages everybody else in my position because most of us are looking with some sense of what does it look like going forward. So thank you for your faithfulness to honor God in the season you're in and give him the praise even when you're hurting and in pain. The doctor, between doctor's visits and, you know, this thing isn't going away, this isn't seemingly a miracle that God is giving me in the moment, but I'm still rejoicing. I'm still being a good testimony unto the Lord. Thank you. I have to say thank you for your awesome example to the rest of us because getting old should be a gracious thing as you do. And we appreciate that from our end, but I'm sure that others that are in your field are need it too. They need to see what you do and how you respond to the Lord. Pastor John, he's not here with us today, but he was just sharing with me. I was over at his house on Friday helping do some mowing over there. And he has some spots on his head, and he has about 30 spots. He said when he stopped counting that they were using the frozen nitrogen to get the cancer spots off of his head. One thing that we can say is this, we can be very grateful. He said the doctor told him, he said, that is not from Agent Orange from your time in the services. That is just from the heat of the sun and blaring on your head. So here he is going through that, and I'd be like, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to be in that season. Like, I'm terrified of that kind of season, in a sense. But I'm also grateful because I see a man in that season, just no blemishes on his life and faith in Jesus while he's going through that. I've seen so many of you do the same thing. Incredible examples. Incredible examples of living a life of faith in the season you're living in. And I want to recognize that and at least say I celebrate you and thank you for what you're doing. God intentionally gives us a pause in life, and it is our job to recognize it as such and stop planting seeds in the winter or late in the summer. We don't just not plant seeds in the winter. We don't plant seeds in the middle of the summer. Not usually. Why? Because you know you don't have enough time for it to grow and flourish and mature. You might get some leaves on it, but it certainly won't become fruitful because you waited too late to plant the seed. So we're either trying to do it too early or we could be doing it too late. If you're in this season, then you should be supporting ministry rather than starting new ones. Some of you are in a season in life where God is not calling you to start a new ministry or start some new thing for Jesus. But what he might be calling you to is supporting the ones that are already there. How many of you would say, I am praying for the ministries that are happening in this church? I'm praying for those ministries. I am grateful you are doing that, because these ministries thrive on your prayers. And what we realize is God has preserved some with the youth and the strength. That's the season they're in to go do the work, physical work that ministry provides. But there is a prayer ministry for our ministries that is so essential. That's like saying Joseph went and planted, and he went and ministered to men in the men's ministry. He went and did a yard sale or something like that, and he planted a seed. But one of you came behind that and watered that in prayer. And you pray, Lord, would you just mightily increase what's going to happen at that cell, and actually use their time to minister to other guys while they're on that job site. And you're just letting the Lord begin to cultivate his vision while you're praying. You're not doing any physical labor, but you are doing the labor of prayer, and it is powerful of what the Lord is doing because of. So we're sitting on the other side of a harvest because of people who are praying and standing in the ground. So you may be in that season, and you're supporting ministry rather than starting new ones. There are definitely times that I feel like the Lord speaks to me, and he does not tell me start a new ministry. He said, I want you to stop doing more ministry right now. I want you to spend time with me. I don't want you to do more stuff. God has a time when he tells us stop working and just spend some time in rest or refreshing your spirit in my presence. Sometimes we don't have a good harvest because we don't nurture what has been planted. Now I've done a little bit of gardening, and our first year of gardening was almost its own failure. But I would say this is one of the things that I see is so important is if you've planted the seed and you don't nurture it, you don't grow anything from that. And I have watched people do this. Visionaries will pop up everywhere. I can't tell you how many of them have visited our church. And I love visionaries because they have this powerful way of telling you what new ministries you should start and what new things you should do. Did I tell you? They never did volunteer themselves for it. I remember somebody that volunteered. They said, I want to see this ministry. And they came for the first one. Came for maybe one other one, never came again, and I was the next guy running the show. I realized that's not the way to do this. That is not how you do this. So if God has given you a vision for this ministry, there's a couple things I believe that the Lord does in order to plant that seed. And one of those things is this. I believe in to some degree, and that's why I have a great admiration for Joseph, is because he honors the leadership here while he's respecting what God is doing. And that makes it so that it can plant and grow and germinate. I watch too many people, they have a ministry in mind or something to do for Jesus, and the last people on their list to get some time spent with is the pastor and those who lead the church. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you expect it to be fruitful? And the reason is because oftentimes what you'll find is there's a pride in that I believe this is what I should be doing, and I'm not going to give space to anybody who might get in the way of that. You know what your other problem is? You'll never give an opportunity for somebody to help support it either. And that's important. It's vitally important to be able to do it. So sometimes we don't have a good harvest because we don't nurture what has been planted. How many of you can say amen to that? We don't nurture it. Nurture that thing. So the other thing I've noticed about visionaries is they'll give you 5 different ministries to do all at the same exact time. Gotta love them. You gotta totally love them. 5 different things to do at the same time. And you know if any one of those got onto the... They even made it out the door or through the gate, you know it wouldn't last. And so that's the heartbreak from my end, is that I'm watching people doing things that won't last because they don't know how to nurture the seed. They don't even know how to plant it most of the time, but they rarely ever know how to nurture the seed. Now, if you plant new seeds and neglect to water what has been planted, it becomes self-defeating. So if I'm not watering the seed that I planted and I'm putting new seeds in the ground, it becomes self-defeating. But that's what we see sometimes. People will do that, is we'll just put more into the ground, but we won't water it. So when I talk about like the importance of, so like for instance, here's one of those things for us, is we talked about VBS, and we're not going to be able to do it this year. But we had the support of the church. And each one of you, as I asked, would you pray about this? And most of you said, I felt like that was God's call. But you realize that sensing God's call and moving forward in that are two different things. And so what we realize is there's more to it than just praying together and listening to the Lord together. It's moving as the Lord leads us together. Now, I sensed that there was some obstacles for me that I couldn't overcome, and so I didn't have a way of moving forward with that for myself. But that's the first place, is get the church to pray. Then as we come together, will we actually work together on those things that God called us to do? So what I've noticed is also this. We've had some dropouts. There are people who said yes to the VBS but dropped out. They're not with us. Why aren't they with us? I can't tell you. Most of them don't come and tell me why they're not with us. But what I'll say is this, is when it comes to planting and preparing and getting ready for, these are the obstacles that ministries face all the time. And I'm sharing that with you is because as the Lord grows us, as the Lord continues to work through us, we'll realize there's a whole lot more to this. One of the things I'd say is, interestingly, not very many people approach me and say, hey, Pastor, where are we going with the VBS thing? If you prayed about it and you felt it was the Lord's will, that should be kind of I should be feeling that from everybody in a sense. If this is really what God wants us to do, we should all be pushing in that direction that God wants us to. So I would just say, I just think what I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm going to show whether you're ready for this or not. And I didn't feel like the Lord said we were ready. There's multiple reasons for that. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's for us to say, then what does the Lord want us to do with this? If you are planting new seed and neglecting to water, what has been planted becomes self-defeating. If you are in this season, you may be at the point of germination. This is when you water without seeing results while you're going through that time. See, germination, when you think about it, we used to plant grass seed all the time. And when we did, what we did was we raked it in and we just buried it under the soil so you can't see anything. You just took whatever you put on the surface of the ground and most of it kind of got buried underneath the dirt. Then we watered it. Now, how many of you have planted grass in your lawn? Okay. How many of you'd water just once every day in order to grow that grass? We got a few people. What's the secret to growing grass?
Water all day and night.
You water it and keep it damp constantly. You don't want the ground to dry out until it germinates. You water until it germinates. Yeah, well, not quite that, because then you lose. But he's got the idea down. You keep it watered for sure. And so what we do is we would set it up, especially in the heat of the summer, to water 3 times a day to keep that area damp. And so then it would germinate. And then you would see that sprout come up out of the ground. And I'll tell you this, it's a thrill to see the sprouts come out of the ground, but it's not like it happens overnight and it's really fast. And so one of the things I realize is, as we don't take time to pay attention to the seasons, spiritual seasons God has us in, we won't water and wait. What we do is we water for a little bit, we get tired of waiting, and we go to the next thing. And that's when we miss the process of seeing fruitfulness in our life. See, you don't even get to see fruitfulness at germination. You just get to see growth. Fruitfulness is still at the end of the season. Some of us have been praying for things throughout a great portion of your life and you still haven't seen it come to be, but you're still praying for it because you understand the importance of spiritual germination. And that is, we water without seeing until God gives us the fruit of it. Because he planted the revelation of that in my heart, I'm not giving up until I see the fruitfulness of it. And prayer is just an attitude of faith before God. That's all it really ultimately is I believe until God does what he said he's going to do. So I want to give you a verse for this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Weary in doing good. Don't be weary in doing good. So how many of you would say you have somebody in your life, you're like, I have been trying to help and be there for them, and I am not seeing fruitfulness? How many of you can say, actually, I've seen worse than fruitfulness? It's like they went the other way, right? We've seen those types of things. But did God plant it? I'm going to say this one thing, and this is a word for our church here. There is one word that I've been hearing from the Lord over and over again, and it's not just to me. It has been the men and men's group. It's been individual brothers and sisters. But I can hear this one thing over and over again. Do what God called you to do, and don't do anything else. That is the one word that keeps resonating over and over again. And I think we need to continue to hear that, because as we discussed, you get into doing good and then you get trapped in doing the good that you're doing, and God didn't call you to do it. And that is so hard to get out of. So don't get into it to begin with. Don't just be a helper. Don't just help people or enable people as far as that's concerned, but be the person who is doing the will of God. So this verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, this is the way that I would describe this to you. If we were going to interpret it, I would say, don't be weary in doing the good that God called you to do, for in due season you'll reap if you don't lose heart. But I will just adversely say to you, if you are going to continue to not, or you're going to continue to be faithful in the thing God didn't call you to, you will never see a harvest. You will never see a harvest. So some people will settle for growth instead of fruit. I just want to see growth. I don't want to see fruit. So a prolonged pause, a waste of vision, a prolonged pause. When you wait too long, it becomes a waste of vision. In other words, I failed to plant seed in the spring, so this is the time God wants, and this is the time, so spring is the time God wants new ministry to begin. So I failed to plant in the spring. I should have done it then, and now it's too late. And some people will live a lifetime of regret because they realize they should have done something a long time ago, and they didn't. And now it's too late. There is truth to that. There's times when I can say, you've waited beyond the redeemable moment for it to happen. And we place that like as if God will still sovereignly undo what I chose. Does he do that in our harvest times? Can we go out today and wait to midsummer and then start planting our seed and expect a harvest? Not likely. And so these are some of the things, regrets, that we will have to live with as Christians. If you wait too long beyond the redeemable time that God has given for it, you will not see a harvest in that area of your life. You can pray for it over a long period of time, and you still won't see a harvest because you did not do it at the time God called for you to do it. And that's a disgraceful, difficult time, but I have to say, it's really important. Some people will settle for growth instead of fruit. So this is a waste of vision. If we prolong the pause, it's a waste of vision. If we prolong the pause, it ruins the purpose by prolonging an idea but never putting it into action. Somebody needs to hear that. I'm saying that to somebody. If you prolong the pause, you wait too long, it ruins the purpose, and then the idea that you had never goes into action. Never goes into action. So that could be many, many different things for all of us, but we have to be very careful that we don't wait too long in order to do what God has given us to do. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, he says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. A prolonged pause, if we wait too long, and some of us have been in that area of life, it gives us an elevated view of ourselves by just holding high ideals. If you wait too long, some people will think, because I had high ideals, and it's an overinflated view of things, when the reality is all it was ideas. That's all it ever ended up being was great ideas, but it never went beyond that. You know, I can definitely say I heard this saying a long time ago, failure is a sign that somebody cared enough to try. And I would say this, is that you've never failed if God called you to do it. You've never failed. I had somebody ask me not too long ago about giving to somebody, and that thought of, did it produce entitlement? And I said, you know what the power of this is? When you do what God called you to do, you don't have to worry about the results. You don't have to worry about the results. No more than if we were farming the land and we had plowed and we'd planted properly and at the right time and the right season, and then we've done the rest of what we're supposed to do, as if God won't do the rest of what he's going to do. So you can guarantee that God will definitely do his part. So if you're looking at something that's been fruitless, you can say one of two things most of the time. Either it wasn't the Lord that commanded me to do it, or it was me doing my thing instead of. Because it always ends in fruitfulness when God is the one leading it. It's always that way. You don't ever have to wonder if God's going to do his part. You don't ever have to wonder if he's going to shine the sun on it or if he's going to do what he does best. But what we often find is the missing link is somewhere along the line, I missed this piece. A prolonged pause, when we do this, we will quit working at something God has put his blessing on. And God, in that sense, God stops growing when we stop watering. See, a lot of people would like this. They would love me to give this message. Pastor, would you give me the divine sovereignty message that reduces my responsibility to nothing? I got some recognition out of that. I didn't write that one down. The Lord gave that to me in this moment. Some people would love for me to do that. Just remove my responsibility, and then God will, in his sovereignty, act over the top of that. Now, in one sense, we do read about that in the Bible. It was in the story of Esther. And I just want to go over this thought real quickly on that. Esther was called to go do something. And remember, she was fearful about going in front of the king, because it could be her life if she did. And so she was wondering if she was going to risk it. And then if you remember, she was told, if you don't do it, deliverance will come from elsewhere, but you and your house shall die. Right? You'll suffer the consequences of unfaithfulness, but somebody else will come in. In other words, God will put somebody else to do your work for you. But that doesn't mean, that may be a way of God sovereignly doing it. That's not the way you want him to sovereignly do it. You want him to put you to action where he's called you to action. So we will quit working at something God has put his blessing on, and oftentimes start working at something God hasn't put his blessing on. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 8. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. I think there's a lot of people who think they're going to get to heaven that did almost nothing for Jesus at all, and they think they're going to get all the rewards. Because it's the way we look at the love of God. And we use these different terms like unconditional love and all of those other things. And what we do is we blanket those terms to miss a good portion of what the Bible talks about. And so when we hear what the end time looks like, when we step into and stand before the Lord, it's going to be us hopefully hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, because we were obedient to what he called us to do. But what if we were disobedient? What if we didn't do what Jesus called us to do in this life? Are we going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? And a lot of us would like to, again, Pastor, could you remove that sense of responsibility from us? And I can't tell you what of all the degrees are going to be. But what I should say is this. We should all have a sense of urgency, not on the fearfulness of the loss, but on the joy of knowing what's the treasure in front of us. If God has a reward for us, it's going to be more than you can begin to fathom if it's the Lord's joy. So I love what Paul, he says here. He says, Paulos watered, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We did our part, God did his part. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So notice Paul is not saying, I'm going to get what Apollos did. I'm not going to get recognized for what he did. I'm not going to get praises or sang to because of his faithfulness. I'm going to get for what I did. Now, understand me. I don't think any of us get to boast when we stand before the Lord. I don't think that's, please don't hear that idea. That like, well, Lord, look what I did. What did I do? It's going to be that I'm amazed that I get in at all. I'm totally amazed that I get in at all. But now I'm grateful that I served him who was worthy of it all. And I did it as he wanted me to do it. That's what it's all about when it's all said and done. So too many people are trying to grasp for what they want for themselves, and really we should be grasping what does God want for him. So if we have no pause, in other words, we don't take a stop to rest, and we just keep on working, we keep on plowing, so to speak, we will keep trying to make something work that God isn't blessing. In other words, we overwatered by not being led by the Holy Spirit. I need to say that to somebody. I mean, you might say, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir, but there's somebody that's not in the choir today. And I'm saying, you get to overwatering something because we work so hard at doing something either God didn't call us to, or he's saying, I wanted you to stop here. And we kept on doing it anyway. And so here's the thing, is what we have to remember is, when you want the Lord to do his work, you've got to stop where he's supposed to do his work. You got to know that part. So, Lord, I want you to save my loved one. So make a phone call and call them up, right? But after that, you're probably praying and waiting for God to do his part in his work in their life as you're just trusting him to do it. So what we see is people who will overwater. You know, there are some spouses that overwater their husband or their wife because one of them's in the church, one of them's hopefully saved, and the other one isn't. So what they do is they go home and they nag the other one relentlessly about how spiritual that they're not, trying to get them to be saved. That's overwatering. And the reason you overwater is, the real reason for most of us, and this would be include me, is because we don't trust God to do his part. Because it takes time to water and not see the results. So being led by the Holy Spirit is crucial to doing this. I'm not pausing. I'm going through a pause, but I'm not having too much of a pause. When you stop depending on God, then the grocery store begins to look larger than the harvest field. Can I say that one more time? When you stop depending on God, the grocery store begins to look larger than the harvest field. And what do I mean by that is, the consumerism in our way of thinking is, the grocery store has greater demand than Jesus has the power or that the harvest is going to provide for. Does that make sense? So when we think of the harvest field, the field should mean, when we stop depending on God, we start thinking there's the grocery store has higher demand. Consumerism requires more. What do I mean by that? I mean, it means that you need to put more time, you need to work harder, you need to invest yourself more into. It puts greater demand on you. So here's the other thing. What I do need to say is this. While I'm not preaching one message that says it removes your responsibility, on the other side of it, I'm not saying that it's all about your responsibility. It's all about what you do. It's all about you making sure everything is perfect and in a row. Why is that essential? Because we have to recognize the divine element and the human element in everything we do. Failure to improve. So when we have no pause at all, there's a failure to improve because we do not reflect. Because we do not reflect. Harvest time teaches you more than any other time. Now, this is what I'll share with you. When we were doing our first garden, so one of the things is we didn't have much of an area of sun in our backyard. So we had the barn, which is mostly the shade on it. We had some sun, and then we had partial sun and all of that. So we didn't have a great yield. But we had rocky soil. I didn't have a lot of good sits. But one thing I did do is I watered it pretty good. I watered it really well. And we had little green peppers that were about like that size. Most of what we tried to do just really didn't, it kind of phased out. But I learned something from that first harvest. You need sun. I learned a few other things. You need better ground, better soil prepared. You need to put a little different kind of emphasis in this. And so our best teacher is our first harvest. Our best teacher is our first harvest. You know, if you gave me another lifetime to raise up new kids, I would know a little bit more. Now, would I do a better job? I'm not sure about that. But I would say I would know something more than what. And there's a probability of doing a better job when you know more. Your first year, so that was our first year in garden, and you lose the purpose when we have no pause, we have no rest, you lose the purpose and the heart for what God originally generated the desire for. When you don't pause, you lose the heart for what God gave you the first generated for. When Christians do not replenish spiritually, the hope of harvest suffers with the farmer rather than the field. It suffers with us, not with the field. Some of us have spent too much of our life blaming others and the situation around us why things didn't turn out. We spent way too much time blaming others and the conditions of the field outside of us. And really, it was us. And the reason why is this, is I can never put too much emphasis on make sure you spend plenty of spiritual time replenishing. Replenishing. Letting the Lord just work in you to willing to do of his good pleasure. Spending time with him. That is your best line of defense at every point. Now, what I would say is this, no matter what season you are in life, no matter what season you're in, if you're in a season of age or if you're the season of youth, never forsake that one piece. You replenish spiritually in every season. You have to have that. You have some seasons where you have to work harder and do more than you would in others. We get to rest more in other seasons of life, but we have to. But it's essentially really important that we remember that the Lord is the center of everything we do. Now, I'm saying this because when I told you we have dropouts, we do have dropouts. Some of you will at times say, Pastor, why are they not with us today? Some of them moved on because the Lord moved them on. A lot of people move on because they drop out, because they're dropping out. And the reason they're dropping out is because they're not spiritually replenishing. They're not doing that. And so what you'll see is this, and I've watched it over and over again, and this is the heart of your pastor just speaking to you. I've watched people over and over again get to the place where I'm not talking about they just get busy. That's one of them. But what they get is off focus. They let their mind and their heart get trapped in something. And it's usually a crucial or a difficult thing in life. And then they just get lost in it. And then before you know it, you never get to see them again. And they won't receive a phone call. They won't take time for you to pray with them. They don't want you to because they've gotten that far away, because they didn't spiritually replenish. Don't lose the focus. Just don't lose the focus. Jesus is the focus for our souls if we're going to be able to do this thing. All the way from youth to age, we got to make sure that the Lord is our focus. And I love this part because for me, the more I can ground people in not just doing something. We're not a church. I'm not going to be the pastor who tells you need to get busy and get involved. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, you need to get to the place you can discern and listen to the Lord and know what to get involved in. Exactly. I absolutely expect. I expect because the Lord does. I expect if the Lord is speaking to you and you're in a good place where you can hear him, I expect you to do what he tells you to do. I don't care about the rest of it. I expect you to follow through with it. But on the other side of this is, I'm a fearful that some people are getting spiritually dull and they're not listening to the Lord. And they can't tell when God is saying do something. And so let's get back on track and just listen to the Lord today. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'd like to pray with you guys and give you an opportunity. If anybody is feeling the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, Lord, I have been needing to obey and follow through with what you've called me to do. I am sorry, and you just need to repent and get some things right with him. This is the right space. If when I said there are times when people are like, remove my responsibility and you're that person, I definitely want to give you an opportunity. We can pray for you and pray with you. The miracles are meant to happen in the moment. Okay? Amen? Amen. So if the Lord is tugging at your heart, I want you to come forward. If the Lord is tugging on your heart, Caleb, if you would, just, he'll play some music in the background in the moment as you just get an opportunity to come before him. Father, we want to thank you. Would you just come in this moment? The Lord's been tugging on your heart, and you say, I've been in a season in life, and there's been something in this message the whole